everybody, welcome into another episode of Make Comics, the podcast where we talk about the nuts and bolts that go into making comics, including the actual production, the marketing, how you talk to folks at conventions, what you should look for in collaborators, anything related to making comics. And we like to involve you, the listener, and answer your questions. My name is Joey Groh, and I'm joined by Andy Schmidt.
Hey, Joey.
Hey, Andy. I like this week's question because it's something that I have tried and that I have had some success with. We just spent a little bit of time checking out the webcomic that accompanies this question, and we'll have that in the show notes or on the metadata attached to the file if you guys want to check it out. But I'll try to give the URL and make that understandable. So this question comes in from Gerardo, and he asks, since most people are not into reading unpublished comic book scripts, how do you feel about creators doing webcomics for free so that more people can see it, the editors can see it, and it can benefit the writer and artist too? My friend who is an artist and I did a Batman short story just for fun, and we got a lot of exposure, and my friend got a gig at Boom Studios out of it. I have another very talented friend who has been trying to break into Marvel or DC for a long time. He does beautiful art pages to send to editors, and nobody sees them. Should more people do free webcomics to break in? And that's Gerardo, and he is moonheadpress.blogspot.com. The story that he sent us directly is called The Deal. It's a Batman and Joker story, and it's all available on his site. It's all free, and you can scroll down and check out the work that he and his artist produced. And it seems like they have a lot of great comments. They have like 293 comments on the post, and I know I had actually seen this before, before getting this email. I had seen it circulating around. So Andy, going into this, you know, from your perspective in terms of editorial, I'm sure you came across people in lots of different ways, but to me, my gut is, yeah, if you can create a free comic and get it out into the world and folks can see it, you know, if your model is, I don't need to make back the money that was invested because you guys, or maybe you don't care, you're just investing your money as going into getting into comics. Maybe you paid an artist and letterer and colorist if you are a writer, or maybe you're an artist who paid for other services. But you know, generally, I think a great approach if you can find collaborators is to do something together that isn't, you know, your 12-issue maxi series, but it is your short story that you can put on the web and you can show people your perspective and what you might do with creator-owned or what you might do with more popular characters. I think it's great that you have this platform, and the comic that you guys put out is a great comic. You know, to me, reading it, it was pretty exciting to see a different take on Batman and the Joker.
Yeah, there are a couple different pieces to this, but first of all, like just setting aside actually making a comic, so we're at the point where a comic is being made. The only real issue I saw with this, because it is a really interesting take on Batman and Joker, it's really well done. It's well written. The art is really nice, and a lot of attention, whether that comes from the script or not, is difficult to say. And that's one of the issues with doing the web comics as a collaboration. The way the story is actually designed is a powerful component of it. And so I don't know if the script is calling for that stuff, or if that's more on the artist's shoulders. But it's a compelling read, and it's not too long, which is nice. And it's a heck of a lot it's a heck of a lot more fun to read the comic than it is to sit there and read a script. I mean, one of the things that I do is when I write a script and I don't know who the artist is, I just keep it really short. You know, it's like one sentence in a panel description. It's short. And that's because I'm not wasting time. But if I'm writing a script for somebody that I do know, it's more a conversation. Those scripts tend to get kind of long because I just keep talking to my artist. But what's cool about this is it is, you know, and this I'm glad, you know, that when we click on the link, it's a good comic. I think one of the hurdles to overcome is that so many links that get sent around to people are not all that compelling. Not that they're always bad or terrible, but they're not usually all that compelling. Sometimes you read these things, you go, oh, there's some promise here. If this guy pops back up on my radar, I'll pay attention. You know, and so In terms of exposure, it's a good way to get exposure, especially as a writer. Having actual work that's done is a real boon. Whereas, yes, trying to get scripts in people's hands for them to read is just not going to work. One of the things that Gerardo said in here is that his friend that sends art samples in and no one looks at them. The reality is, I mean, I'm not sure how he's sending them in, but the reality is probably that people are looking at them. They're just not compelled to reach out to them. And that doesn't mean that people are looking at them and going, these are bad. Again, it could be these show a lot of promise, or they're almost there. Next time this guy sends a package in, hopefully it'll be up to snuff. But a lot of that stuff gets looked at. The problem that you have with one issue with actually doing a Batman and Joker story is that I'm pretty sure, I didn't work at DC, but I'm pretty sure DC policy is that DC editors can't read it. I don't think that they could read it, because if they had something in the pipeline that was similar, they want to avoid, you know, any kind of accusations of wrongdoing or whatnot. So you kind of have hamstrung yourself in one sense that the DC people can't read it or shouldn't be reading it. But on the other hand, the bonus is people tend to be more interested in a Batman Joker story than in a two characters I've never heard of story. So there's a catch 22, you know, to this sort of thing. But, you know, this comic is good, circulating around. Clearly a lot of people saw it. A lot of people posted on it. You know, the real question is, what do you do once the comic is up? And I'm not sure what Gerardo did, but, you know, here we are, however long ago, I didn't look, however long ago he posted this. And, you know, now we're talking about it on Make Comics podcast, which is, you know, I don't know that it's going to lead him to any kind of work, but, you know, it's still more exposure. So the tendency is that if you've got two talented people, one writer and one artist, the artist tends to get work first because it's a much more immediate, more visceral sort of experience. And the work is all there. Whereas with writers, there tends to be more hesitancy on the part of editorial people that might hire you, because writers are usually easier to come by. And the big part of that is that writers can do more than, you know, can produce more pages per month than an artist can. So you just need fewer artists or fewer writers working in the industry. The other part is, can you hear the sirens?
No, I was laughing because, you know, I can't draw or really color, or and I don't edit, so fewer writers in the industry. But yeah, I think we did hear a little bit of your sirens.
Oh yeah, there might be a little munchkin running around pretending to be a fire truck.
That's also a good way to get notice.
It gets him noticed a lot, almost daily. But you know, so my point is that there's also some sort of hesitancy because the immediacy of a story tends to be the art, that there tends to be a little more of a convincing curve on the part of, you know, media buyers or whatnot for writers. So I can read this story and I'm convinced that the artist is good. He can pencil my story. Whereas I'd want to see another short story or two from the writer, you know, maybe with other artists, to make sure that you know, the writer is really pulling their weight on it, which is not a criticism. It's just a reality, because there are a lot of times where you read a short story and then you hire the writer and it turns out the writer's really not all that great. That was not an accurate representation of the skill level where that writer is. And that does happen. You know, a really good artist can really elevate a story, whereas if you've got a mediocre artist, it's really hard for a writer, you know, even a really good one, to elevate the story beyond the mediocre artwork. And that's just a reality of comics. So that's kind of my take on it. I guess the real question, which I'm not even sure I've addressed yet, I guess the real question is, should more people do free web comics to break in? I don't see why not. You know, I'm sort of a proponent of, you know, cast the net wide in terms of where your work goes. So a free webcomic is great, but do some stuff in print, get some work for hire if you can, do some fun things, do some dark things, do some comedic things, find different venues. Whereas if every comic you do just goes on the one blog spot, and probably they should go since it is, Gerardo's blog spot, they'll probably all go up there. But if all you're doing is putting it in the same place, then you're really just hitting the same audience over and over. And you need to get your work out there, and to hit different people, and then maybe bring them over to the blog spot where they can see more work. So if I saw this, let's say this was posted on a fan fiction board that I go to, and saw this and it has a link to the blog spot, maybe I'd click over to the blog spot where there are four other stories by Gerardo. And if they're all good, well, now all of a sudden he's in contention for a gig that I might hire for.
And here's where I'm going to show some social media bias. If you're not on Twitter, I would suggest getting on Twitter and interacting with people who make comics at most levels. You can access folks, whether that's your Jim Lees, your Joe Quesadas, all the way down to people like you who are trying to break into the industry. Sometimes some of the most fun people that I know on Twitter are the people that haven't gotten a wider audience yet, and you get to know folks and kind of come up with them. But what Twitter allows is for immediate instant sharing. And if everybody gets your link to your cool new comic, social media does its job of people saying, check this out. Oh my gosh, this is the best story. Check out this story, my friend's story. It just goes out into the world, and you get more eyeballs on it from an audience, people that you've established a relationship with, from showing who you are, showing where your interests lie, showing that you're working towards something. And that outcome can be really gratifying, because that can aid in when you meet folks in the real world, when you meet them at conventions, when you meet them, just however you connect to people that could be in a position to hire you for work for hire, or take your creator-owned submission because you have a relationship. And the guys that and women that I know that are doing web comics, so much of it is about just establishing a track record. Oh, you post frequently, or you post biweekly, or I love it when you have new stuff go up. You start to show that you have consistency, and you start to show growth. Andy, I don't know, you and Josh Fialkov have maybe talked about his old web comic. That's actually where I first knew him, before I think he might have done any comics work. I knew Poorly Drawn Animals. That's a guy for years did a comic. And I'm sure, like so many other folks that transition from doing webcomics to writing other comics, you get all your mistakes out of the way. You have so much growth that when you can arrive at a different audience and working with publishers, you've just grown so much, and have all the tools in your toolkit that folks starting off might not have. So I think webcomics are a great entry point.
Yeah, and Josh is a really good example of somebody that has been on the social media for a long time, who uses all of those tools, and he is one of the most hooked in creators I know. I mean, he knows so many people in the industry that and a lot of times, we'll know the same people, and I won't know that they know each other, but like almost every time somebody says, "Oh yeah, I know Josh from X." X is different from the last thing that somebody said they knew him from, which is different from the thing before that, which is different from the thing before that. And so he's a really good example of somebody that ha managed to put his work out there and start getting around. The one thing about the social media, I'll say, just sort of in a sort of best practices sort of thing, is I get a lot of people hitting me on Twitter with, "Hey, at Comic Experience, check out this awesome new comic that I just put out, link." I can immediately spot, like, he or she is not actually sending that to me. They are essentially just spamming everyone they know. And then you just click on their name, and there you are. You're sandwiched in a list of 150 creators that get exactly the same message. And that's typically fairly off-putting. It happened to me yesterday. I clicked over and I'm like, "Oh, look, I'm sandwiched in between Geoff Johns and Brian Michael Bendis," which I thought was really funny. I was like, How do I slip in between Geoff Johns and Brian Michael Bendis? I remember that very clearly. There's like the placement of me in the middle of those two guys. But it was this long list of all these comics creators that the person was just hitting. And that doesn't mean that no one will click on that link or no one will see it. But try to personalize it a little bit more if you're gonna try and actually grab somebody's attention directly. Then take the time to actually grab their attention directly. Because that's one thing that's just sort of off-putting from the get-go. So that even if I click on that thing, I'm already kind of going into it with a bad taste in my mouth. The other thing that we've sort of been circling around is the aspect of the community building with the social media and with webcomics, because there's a really cool webcomics community, a strong, I should say, I shouldn't say cool. I mean, well, it is cool, but it's a strong community. And the more communities you can sort of be a part of, that you can really become a part of, communities tend to, like you were saying, come up together. And so, you know, I would recommend, you know, finding those communities that work for you, which is the obvious place for me to plug the Creators Workshop, where we've got a lot of people who are craft minded that are building, that have built, I should say, have built a community that's inviting, that's supportive, but it's also critical. And there's a lot of people sort of seeing work here and then, you know, with permission, passing it along to other people, and there's a zeitgeist that's happening there, which is great. And so there are other communities that do this too. I'm not saying that the Comics Experience one is the only one, but it's a really great way to learn at your own pace. If you've got two day jobs and a couple of kids, you may not be able to do as much as you'd like all the time, but you can learn at your own pace with a workshop. You can learn faster if you want, if you're willing to put more work in. And you get to know people, and they introduce you to more people. And what starts off as just a community that you're a part of becomes a much larger community as you start to see all the connections unfold. And I can't overstate the power of being a part of a community or several communities. There's no reason that if you join the Creators Workshop, you can't also be a part of several other communities as well.
The feedback is constructive. It's all so much about moving the ball forward, and those relationships, again, that you can establish in the forum or other forums, those translate to, I'm at a convention, I'm meeting people, and I'm getting introduced to other people, and oh yeah, you're that guy from that one thing. It all kind of goes into, like you said, the zeitgeist of, oh, Josh, I know him from X, and your X is different from my Y of knowing Josh. But then, you know, you find you're at San Diego Comic-Con, sitting next to him at dinner for a Comics Experience meetup, and that's how it all goes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with somebody like with Gerardo here, I mean, that's a good comic that he wrote, and I don't know Gerardo, so I don't know if he's, you know, hooked in with the community, with the comics community at large, but if not, you know. You know, this might be a good place for him to go. We have professionals that are on the boards. We have professionals that do critiques of scripts and professionals that do critiques of art. And these are guys working, you know, at Marvel and DC and other places as well. So it's a good place for that kind of thing. You know, if you're at a higher level where you just need to kick it up a notch and get to that next level, or, you know, if you're starting out, you know, it's a good place to go, and you can see people who are doing this for a living. It's really inspiring, and you can ask them questions, and nobody's rude. it's a really neat thing. I feel like I've been plugging that probably too much, kind of unintentionally, but that support is amazing. And by support, I mean that, you know, the networking opportunities that you can get out of them.
That's the closest example, and you see it every day. I know, I'm trying to think through the folks that I know that are doing webcomics and the Comics Experience bent, but I know Gannon Beck and Brian Richmond do Space Corps. That's spacecorecomic.com. I'm sure over the years, different folks, you know, once you create something that you own with a collaborator, you can put it where you want. You know, at the end of the day, if it's not something where somebody has your publishing rights, or it is just to go out into the world, you link to it, you insert it into whatever forum posts, you know, you make it go out into the world, and of course all direct back to you, but yeah, you just get it out there, and eventually the right eyes will see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great idea to put the stuff online. And I'm glad that you haven't gotten a cease and desist letter yet. Cause I liked reading it.
Now, really, I mean, until you've gotten your first cease and desist, come on.
You're not in until you've gotten your first C&D.
Well, hopefully this has answered your question and given you some other food for thought. If you've got a question that you'd like to have answered on Make Comics, you can email info@comicsexperience.com and we will talk about it on the show. You can send all of your links, all of the links that you have, send them to Andy at Comic Experience on Twitter, and you can send me some of your links. I'm at Joey G on Twitter, and I think that'll wrap it up for this week.
That sounds good.
Excellent. Until next time, keep making comics.